So the question was asked, what is the interaction between Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk Zatzal and the community that's called the more religious or the Haredi community? So Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk Zatzal was a disciple of the Netziv and Rav Chaim Oizer. And he was a part of one of the greatest yeshivas that ever existed. He has letters from the Chafetz Chaim and his children. If you read the work, Letters to Rav Kook, you see that the Rashi Yeshiva of Mir, of their own volition, arranged a day of eulogizing Rav Kook after he passed. People like to say that Rav Kook was referred to as Rashka Behag, Rosh Kol B'nei Agola, or Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Eretz Yisrael, for all kinds of political reasons, but that doesn't answer why after his passing, the Rashi Yeshiva of the Haredi world went out of their way to eulogize him. And Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, who was considered one of the great Rashi Yeshiva of the Haredi world, had a very special relationship with Rav Kook, as did Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who was a Moel. He was a rabbi in Yerushalayim, and he opposed the idea that Rav Kook would be chief rabbi of Israel, and he had a serious machlokas with Rav Kook on certain fronts. And nonetheless, there are famous stories that were included in the biography that was written by the Haredi world about how Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld refused to let their disagreements go down to such a low level as other people would have it. There's a famous story that once there was a wedding and the guy was a disciple of Rav, he davened by Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, but he was a big admirer of Rav Kook, and so he wanted Rav Kook to be the Masader Kiddushin. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld's disciples told him, there's no way you could go to a wedding where you're not going to be the Masader Kiddushin. It's a chutzpah. It's like showing that you agree that Rav Kook is bigger than you. How could you do that? So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said, I could go. What do you mean? What's the big deal? He wanted Rav Kook to be the Masader Kiddushin. I could go. And the disciples put up a big fight, and he said no. And finally, each time they came up with a different claim. At one point they said, even if you're willing to forgo your honor, you have to remember you're representing us, and it's not right. You can't represent us in shame. You can't represent us in forgoing honor. You could represent us in what's positive, but not what's negative. He said, you're 100% right. I'm going to give you my letter of resignation today. There's a whole long story about how they tried to argue with him, and he said, no, I could go, and I'm going to go. And there were other things that they worked jointly on, and it's unfortunate that history has been rewritten, and that he's been portrayed to the world as someone who is very different than who he really was. He was a giant of Torah who was admired by all the world, and although there were people who disagreed with him on certain points, nonetheless, he was admired for his great Torah knowledge. Who married off Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? Who married off Rav Eliashiv? Homework. Look it up. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to go to Rav Kook's shiurim. Look it up. I left your homework. Who married off Rav Eliashiv? We live in a day and age where history has been rewritten, and today in the Haredi world, unfortunately, Rav Kook is not given the honor that he deserves. Although the rabbis of yesteryear definitely gave Rav Kook the honor he deserved as a tremendous Torah sage, today, unfortunately, the students won, right? The rabbis didn't view it this way. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a student of Rav Kook's. He himself, he used tremendous words to describe the Torah of Rav Kook and the Midos of Rav Kook. And the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg, who just passed away, also quotes Rav Kook right and left in his works, as does Rav Ovadia Yosef. But the next generation doesn't view it that way. And I don't think it is a compliment to the next generation that they don't view it that way. They learn the Torah in other areas of Rav Kook. Part of what happened is that Rav Kook's works were taken in a certain direction by his disciples. And that direction is not agreed upon by all of Am Yisrael. Again, it's a question of stress. It's a question of where do we put our stress, and it's a question of approach. At the end of the day, we all strive to keep Tariag Mitzvot. There are areas of contention, and those areas have become focused upon by many people in the last few decades. The good news is that the pendulum is swinging the other way now. And although we've seen a half a century where things kept shifting in the direction of things becoming more and more extreme, and things seemingly becoming more distant, everything's working the other way now. The people of Merkaz Arav, the people of Rav Kook's yeshiva, are less pro-army and pro-government than they were all these years. And the people from the Haredi world are less anti than they'd been all these years. Suddenly you have Haredi institutions for secular education. Suddenly the world is shifting, as the norm of the world does. And that means that there's more meeting ground, and there's more mutual respect, to the point where 3 years ago, when 8 children were massacred in Merkaz Arav, Hasidish Rebbe's participated in the Levaya. A lot of Rabbanim participated in the Levaya. And a lot of yeshivas participated. And I think that although we've witnessed the most extreme distance between the two camps, and unfortunately it really looks like two camps, but at the end of the day we're not two camps. Really, we are one camp. And I think the camps are in a positive direction of merging closer together, which is also merging closer to the truth. It is true that today, in the Haredi world, most people do not view Rav Kook as a giant in Torah, and that is an error. The giants of Torah viewed him as a giant of Torah. If it's the Chafetz Chaim or his children, if it's the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, if it's Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'm talking about the giants of the Haredi world. If it's Rav Arya Levine. There are more detailed explanations as to how this evolved this way. But in a nutshell, it doesn't change the great person that he was. But you asked me, how does the Haredi world today view him? So the general Haredi populace, the general camp, does not recognize his greatness. You start reading the responsa, there you see again, look, Rav Waldenberg was considered one of the big poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you want to go to the Sephardi world, Rav Ovadia, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, so there you see that the big people in Torah did appreciate what a giant he was. Rav Feinstein too had a few situations where he expressed what a genius Rav Kook was. But you ask me how the common folk view him. Well, the common folk don't. They don't recognize it.
And the interaction between the Gedolim on both, I guess, the camps on both points of views. Is there any interaction between the Gedolim now, or do they just stay in their own pina?
Well, you understand it depends on who you call whom. Meaning, the Rabbanim in the Dati Lumi camp who learned under Rabbanim in the Haredi camp. Yeah, they definitely are.
Like public unity, is there any, on certain fronts, is there anything in public?
The question is who you're talking about.
I don't know.
It's almost like the unions.